Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of Fightin' Words on the Fightin' Words Sports Network. Fightin' Words is brought to you each and every night of the week. In grateful appreciation to the men and women of the United States Armed Forces, the men and women of police and fire services, the doctors and nurses and first responders to COVID, and also the wonderful people in the supermarkets who keep us the shelves stocked, especially in times of COVID. Please be very careful out there. Again, there's a resurgence of another type of COVID out there this summer. So please be very careful, keep your distance, wash your hands often, and please wear a mask. Tonight's program, we're starting off on a sad note. We're dedicating the program to two people that were a very big part of this program. As everyone knows, one of the sharpest minds in boxing and boxing reporters is Bernard Fernandez. Bernard is part of our staff, and unfortunately, he lost the love of his life and died last Tuesday afternoon from pancreatic cancer. So we're dedicating the program to her and also another member of our staff, Steve Kinsella, who is a author, sports writer, author, baseball historian. He lost his mother last night. So these programs are dedicated to them and their families. And both Bernard and Steve, I know it's a very tough time. We're here for you if you need us. And always remember, may the rose rise up to meet you. May the winds be always at your back. May the rains fall softly on your fields. The sunshine lightly on your face until we meet again. May the good Lord keep you and your families always in the palm of his hand. Well, Tony, you got some really big news here tonight.
Oh, I'm sitting here waiting for the outcome of the Usyk fight, but I believe it's over now. It went 12 rounds, but Usyk gave Tyson Fury the beating of he's ever had, the worst beating he's ever had. And the last update was Usyk up by 2 points, so we're getting ready to see who's going to win it. But they better not be a draw. This is Usyk's fight.
Mm-hmm. Earlier, you had mentioned another fight that you had watched today.
Yes, that was the I got to look at my notes here again. I'm sorry, I forgot his name. I got so wrapped up into this one. Well, we started with Sergey Crusher Kovalev fought again at 41 years old. And I love him. I was really hoping to see him do his thing, but he's done. He needs to not fight again. He lost. Not one punch that he threw the whole night was anything like the old Crusher. He's done. He needs to retire right now while he's ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Then we had the Joe Cordina fight versus Kakashi. Joe Cordina lost his title to Kakashi tonight, which was a great fight. But some titles changing hands tonight, and I think Usyk's going to be taking one here in a minute.
Okay. All right, we're going to bring Armstrong in and give him a call while we're waiting for that announcement. All right. Okay, good. Yes, Armstrong, we're just waiting for the announcement on the Tyson Fury fight tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Tony was saying that Usyk really gave him the beating of his life.
Yeah, that was the worst one he's ever taken from anybody. He got stunned, and he really should have gone down. The referee saved his ass, and I think it was the sixth round. If it wouldn't have been for the referee, he was done. He was going down. That was going to be it for him.
Okay. Good. The Armstrong, while we're waiting for that, let's go into the Derek Lewis fight. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, Derek Lewis is at the point in his career where he needs to just simply stack wins, put on a show, be entertaining. You know, he's one of the most lovable heavyweights in the game right now, and he's had a very long, very respectable career. I mean, the Rodrigo Nascimento is not – he's not like – he's still up and coming. He's still kind of new, and he hasn't really fought – too many of the tougher guys in the division yet. So it was good to see, you know, not surprised that he got taken out the way he did. But, you know, Derek Lewis has cannons in his hands. And so, you know, Nascimento will be back. But, you know, Lewis is 38, too. Just keep fighting and fighting and fighting and have fun.
Yes!
And I'll keep watching because I love Derek Lewis. It sounds like Usyk won the fight.
Yeah. Sorry about that. Yes, he did.
Tony, let me ask you something. Do you think that the up and down on the weight system, now, Dr. Chris always said when you lose a lot of weight, you know, you lose a lot of muscle, and he was always against that for fighters. Do you think that was one of the things that other than getting his ass whooped, does that have anything to do with tonight's fight, do you think?
I caught the tail end. I'm sorry, I was screaming.
Do you think his up and down on his weight has done anything to Did Tyson, has it, did his spine damp fix him up with that?
No, he got his ass beat this time. The music came out the first two or three rounds and just dominated. Then Fury came back a little bit, busted him up a couple times, cut his eye. But then I think it was the sixth round, like I was saying, he got his ass beat worse than he's ever gotten it. Was going down. In fact, that his eyes were rolling backwards. Ref stopped it. It definitely nothing to do. This was all Alexander's skill right here. He kept going after him the whole fight. Now he's the champion.
Great, great. Armstrong, what do you think about Lewis? Was it River Kaya? KO'd Terrence McKinley in 37 seconds.
Yeah.
Did you ever catch that one?
I didn't catch that fight, but I did hear about it. I think that sometimes, I don't want to say McKinley does this often, but they put themselves in just really bad positions because I think they drink their own Kool-Aid a little bit too much. And so when you see that happen, it's especially when you can get hit with not just hands, but elbows, knees, and feet, and shins, that it's not – I mean, it was surprising just because, you know, McKinley's a good fighter, but in the end, when you saw just kind of the way the you know, you blink and you miss that fight. So it's not totally surprising, but I expect McKinney to bounce back pretty well. Hopefully he'll see that, you know, I got to protect myself a little bit better and stop taking guys lightly.
Right. How about Edison Barbosa and Murphy?
That's a big one. That's tough. That's tough. I don't know much about Murphy. I just heard that he is definitely up and coming, that he is he's one that we should really be paying attention to. Of course, being UK fighters are also – they've been around for a while, but I can't say they've competed at the highest level beyond Michael Bisping until relatively recently with the likes of Balama Leon Edwards and Tom Aspinall now. But I think if Barbosa doesn't control the fight as far as turning it into basically a kickboxing fight, I don't think Barbosa is going to win. He'll lose these types of fights, and I just think that in the end, you have a new, hungry, up and coming fighter, and Edson Barbosa is 38, and he knows he's not going to get another shot at the championship. I could see Barbosa losing this fight, and it's sad because I've always enjoyed, he puts on a fantastic fight.
Yeah,
he's got some highlight knockouts. I mean, the guy's just and look, you won't see a better physique on anybody in the fight game, especially.
Right.
But
right.
But I have a feeling that Murphy's probably gonna beat him in the third round.
Good. Good. Hey, Tony, Monday night we have another big fight coming on Netflix. Mike Tyson and Jake Paul. What's your thoughts on that one?
If Mike Tyson doesn't put Jake Paul out on the mat with his eyes back in his head and calling for a code blue and a stretcher, then that thing is rigged.
You know, I was talking to Ben Henderson earlier today, and we talked about it. You know, my fear still is, if it goes past six rounds, can Iron Mike still be Iron Mike, or will he falter at that point?
I don't see it going past round one, personally. If Iron Mike comes out swinging like he is on these videos at training, all he's got to do is land one shot, and Jake Paul's going nighty-night.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, Paul's a businessman, and he's made a lot of money for himself. And this crossover, you know, his last time he didn't fight bad. He picked up a lot of good points. And I think that, you know, like I said, I love Mike. But I, at 57 years old, I know that, you know, going 3 minutes on that and then sitting a minute on the stool, that takes that's a hell of a lot more recovery than it does for if you're 25, 27. What do you think, Armstrong?
I happen to agree. I think if Mike doesn't doesn't just obliterate him, then there's definitely some sort of business shenanigans going on. Any fighter who trains as much as Jake Paul claims he's training is going to improve. And he had his last fight, 2 months ago. So, I mean, the guy's in the gym training. So it's just more of like, is Mike Tyson going to, be 57-year-old Mike Tyson, or is he going to be even 37-year-old Mike Tyson? I mean, who knows? So I think that it will, but you know, it's hard to take anything like this. You have to take everything like this with a grain of salt. You just do. Cause I agree. I mean, there's going to be some sort of fixed in. These are entertainment fights. These aren't really like the fact that they didn't even announce this was a professional fight until a couple of weeks ago lets you know that right there that this isn't the fight. I mean, look, I watched the Lomachenko fight and I'm like, okay, like this is a real boxing match. I just can't say that this is going to be the same thing. I just don't know. Right. Yeah, I just don't know, and it is what it is. I hope Mike Tyson's profile, if it can get any bigger with the younger folks, I just hope it just raises his profile so he can keep just being Mike Tyson, the guy that we all like to listen to. I listen to his podcast often, his little takes. He's very funny, and he's turned into this kind of like uncle figure that everyone just wants to talk to and be around. So if this just gets him more followers, then great, then it's a positive for him. I just hope he gets out of this and he gets something really positive from it.
Yeah, if it's a real fight, it's not rigged, then I totally think that it's going to be a stamina issue. You don't lose what you've gained all those years as far as technique. And with that technique he's still showing, it's going to be a stamina thing, if it's real. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, like Armstrong said, it's going to be a rigged thing. It's a money issue. And there's no way that Jake Paul's going to knock Tyson out. It ain't happening.
Mm-hmm.
No. Okay, let's get back over to UFC. How about Alex Perez and Matthias Nicolau?
Was that tonight? Let me see.
Yes. No.
Was that last week?
It was 2 weeks ago. Yeah, it was last week, but you weren't on, so we.
Yeah, I missed that. I didn't catch that fight. No. But let me say this about. Alex Perez is an interesting fighter. He's an interesting fighter. I think that he is definitely he's 125 is it's difficult to compete at that weight when you get older. You know, he's in his 30s. You know, outside of Mighty Mouse, you know, especially if you're not 5'2", 5'3". Just try to compete at 125. It's just hard. So, you know, he got the win and everything, but, like, we'll see. I mean, I didn't watch this fight, and it was primarily because I just really wasn't – I really wasn't all that interested. But you know, we'll see what happens with Alex Perez moving forward, because I do think that he is a very skilled fighter. But – you know, is he going to really step up and kind of revitalize 125? Because 125 they need a star, but I don't know. We'll see. Because 125 is like, they're fantastic fighters, but I think they're desperately in need of someone that makes that division exciting again. Because you know, after because even when Mighty Mouse and Henry Cejudo sort of left the UFC, you still had Brandon Moreno from Mexico, and he was very, very, very likable, and everyone tuned in to watch that guy fight as well. So I just don't see that guy right now really being in 125. Mm-hmm. They need that guy in 125 because he makes the other fighters they make you tune into the other fighters. That's what happens.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, Tony. We've got Marco Houck is returning to the ring on the 29th of June, and it's with a TBA at this point in time. Do you think he's been out long enough that he may have a problem, or do you think he'll be okay?
I think he's going to have a problem. I think his time off is going to hurt him. I mean, a lot of people seem to be having trouble that are out too long, and it's starting to show a lot. I think he's definitely going to be one that's definitely going to have trouble.
Right. All right. Armstrong, what do you think about Dana White comes out now and says that UFC 303 is already booked in over $20 million. Is that card going to be that heavy that they would bring that much money in?
Yeah, that's Conor McGregor. I mean, unfortunately, or fortunately, when you have Conor McGregor, it's just going to bring in a bunch of people who are not, I would say, as a hardcore fan. It's just going to happen. And that's exactly why all the other fighters want to get on that card. Let me just get on the Conor card because I know I'll get either more exposure or I'll get, if I put on a good performance, I could ask for more money because more people saw me. So, you know, the card itself, I mean, it's a decent card, but it's really not that great of a card. I mean, for a pay-per-view UFC, I don't think there's a single championship fight on there.
Yeah, that's what I was looking at. That's why I asked the question.
Yeah. But, you know, it's Conor McGregor. I mean, like it or not, man, the guy brings the butt in the seats. And this is also a fight that's been in the works for, 2 years now, I'd say? And also, we can't discount Michael Chandler. Michael Chandler is a fan favorite. I mean, he's got a lot of interest in him as well. He's going to bring in people as well. I mean, Michael Chandler tries to talk trash. He's not very good at it, but I think but when you watch him fight, he's very entertaining. That guy puts his head in everything, and he's not afraid to take a shot. He's not afraid to lose. And which is why when he does win, he wins in a very spectacular fashion. So I'm a Michael Chandler supporter. And am I going to pay for this? No. But will I go somewhere and watch it? Yes, I'll go somewhere and watch it. Because there are other fighters on this card that are particularly interesting. Some people who haven't fought in a long time. But, you know, the fact that you're the first fight out of your co-main is Michelle Waterson Gomez, who used to be one that would people tune in for, but she hasn't won a fight in I don't know how long. And she's definitely on the final stages of her career. Is that lets you know that they're really just banking on Conor to sell this card completely. And but you know, Conor can do it.
Sure. All right, Tony, what do you think about the Lomachenko and dominating Zambosa?
We pretty much knew Lomachenko was gonna lose. He's the man. I think he's still got it in him. I think he's going to have it in for quite a while.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I've never been a good Bosa fan personally anyway, but.
Okay. And how about Shakur Stevens and Foster fight that's coming up in a couple of weeks?
Shakur still got it. Shakur Stevenson's a bad dude. I don't think he's going to have any problem with this. To me, that's a tune-up fight. I don't think Foster even has a chance. As I think, if I heard correctly, Shakur's working on trying to fight Tank, so this is probably going to be a warm-up fight for him. Get ready.
That was who he was going to try to fight, but Tank wanted a little bit more money. And now they're trying to reroute that to when his next fight would be with Tank. Yeah,
I think Tank has got a few coming up in the spotlight now that he's going to have to start worrying a little bit because there's two or three of them that definitely could give him a problem. And Pitbull Cruz, if there's ever a fight between those two again, I think Pitbull will take him next time. In fact, I think he took him the first time. But with Shakur. Ooh. Even Ryan Garcia again. I don't know that Ryan could pull it off or not, but I'd like to see it one more time just to see after what he did in this last fight. There's a couple of them though, but yeah, Tank's gonna have to start worrying now. He got past all the B plus fighters. Now he's getting into the A side of things, and he's gonna have to start getting ready for some good fights. I think he's gonna go down pretty soon.
Okay. Armstrong, what do you think about Alexandre Pantoja decision over Steve Erzik?
You know, it was what I expected. I mean, I'll say this: I gained a lot more respect for Erzik to compete as well as he did. I mean, he was ranked 10th going into that fight. And he's still very green, I'd say, in the fight game. So, I you know, much respect for him to go in there and take that fight and fight five rounds and make Pantoja have to work for it. But I think that it's kind of what I was saying earlier. There needs to be somebody else to make this weight class interesting again. And, you know, Pantoja has been, he's 34. He's been fighting for a long time. This guy's got 33 fights, and he is the best 125er. I mean, he is. I mean, and until someone comes and challenges him, it's just going to stay that way. But, you know, you're seeing he's kind of running out of opponents. I mean, he already beat Alex Perez. You know, he fought Brandon Royal twice, beat him twice. He beat Brandon Moreno. He's beaten him twice. So it's like, okay, well, who's going to come up and challenge? I could see him actually probably not fighting for a while because they just need to sort out who's going to be the next contender. I mean, you're fighting a 10th-ranked guy for the belt. I mean, I think that lets you know enough about what's going on with 125 right now.
Okay.
But much respect for Usyk. I mean, look, hopefully he can bounce back, fight some of these other guys, and build him up a little bit more because you can see he's still very much learning how to do this. So, I mean, just to give you a know who he's been fighting, out of all of his opponents that's listed on Wikipedia, only two of them have – three of them have Wikipedia pages, and two of them are not Alex Pantoja. So that lets you know the level of the level of opponent he's been fighting. So let's let him get some more – let's let him get some more reps in there. And then I think he should probably get another shot because he is a very good fighter. He's got to get some miles on him.
Right. Okay. Tony, we got Josh Taylor and Jack Cottrell coming up. What's your thoughts on that one?
It's going to be a good fight, but I don't see – I think we talked about this last week with Z. Z didn't seem to think that Josh Taylor still really had enough in him to go and make it, but I still think he will. I think he'll pull it off. I don't think it'll be by much, but I do think he'll win.
Okay. What do you think about Z's running a little late tonight, but he'll be on in a few minutes. What do you think about Figueroa and Aguilano?
Honestly, I really don't know much about those two. I know a little bit about Figueroa. I don't know the other one. But Figueroa is a great fighter, so I don't know what he's up against just because I don't know the other one. But Figueroa is definitely a bad dude, too.
Yeah. Armstrong, we had a lady get disqualified for headbutts last week. You know anything about that?
Yeah, I mean that just comes from a fighter who's just not very good. I think that just shows you the lack of depth in the women's divisions, especially you know, if you have like let's take the fight that happened tonight. We had Angela Hill, and Angela Hill's ranked, I think she's ranked 12th currently. And she put on a show. I mean, impeccable striking. And she was fighting the 9th-ranked fighter, impeccable striking, and, you know, showcased her judo, took her down, choked her out. I don't think a fighter of that ranking would do that in any other division in the women's game. And so I think that's just the core of the issue is that outside of 115, there really is no real depth in the women's divisions like there used to be. And so I think they have to really rethink about how many fights they're putting on in this division as far as like, you know, televised fights and just trying to sign girls just to kind of beef up these divisions and just make them have to fight a little bit more on the regional scene because, you know, that happens when fighters just aren't very good. And you shouldn't be on the biggest stage in the fight game if that's what you end up doing. I don't recall anybody ever being beat from a headbutt before. So, like in an intentional headbutt,
yeah.
I mean, that just doesn't happen. So I think that's just a problem with the divisions in general because they just need more. They just got to get better, and they can. I'll say this too because I'm not saying this as a knock on women fighters because we've seen the women fighters perform at very high levels in every division from 115, actually from 105 to 135. So I just think there's a lull right now, and they just have to kind of let some of these younger girls get some more training in before you stick them in the UFC.
I have a question on that one.
Yeah, go ahead.
This female headbutt fight, was either the headbuttee or the headbutter transgender by chance?
No.
No.
I just had to ask, but you never know anymore.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
sure. Yeah, what do you think about the UFC's Barbosa and Murphy fight tonight? Armstrong.
Yeah, so I talked about that earlier. I think Murphy's going to take this probably in the third. I'd say this by Edson Barboza too. He does gas out a little bit. I think getting to one, the fact that he's still fighting at 145 and hasn't gone up, I just think that it just gets harder and harder and harder. And he hasn't always had the win. So I think if Murphy can keep this fight close and just kind of frustrate Barboza, I could see Barboza getting a little tired and possibly losing in the third round.
Ooh. Okay. Tony, what do you think about Barrios?
Mario Barrios, I love him. He's a bad dude. I love that guy. Great fighter.
Yeah.
Still got it in him, man. He's going to go a ways, I believe.
Yeah, he did retain his title with his last fight with Maidana. But who do you think will be his next opponent?
The last I heard, he was he pretty much said anyone. I haven't heard anyone actually step up yet, but I don't think he's afraid to fight anyone.
Hey, hey. Let me take care of something here.
And just for the record, the music and
his ears are perked up. No matter anybody walks down the street, he's out. So I apologize for that.
For the record, the Usyk and Tyson Fury fight, there's an automatic rematch, which they're already working on a date. So we're going to see that one again.
These guys are going to get paid.
Big time, that sure. Big time.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that because the WBA has ordered Haney to fight Martin for a title fight. What do you think on that one, Tim?
I tell you what, right now Haney should be ashamed of himself because I mean, they're throwing all this mud to Ryan Garcia about the PEDs and everything, but they've right. also proven that there was referee interference, there was bribes from the Haneys. Now the Haney, when he hears about the PED, all of a sudden he steps up like he's, I could have been killed. Well, he was the one throwing out he was going to kill Garcia, making comments like that,
right.
Which, you know, so now he's pussing out. I don't like Devin Haney. I never have, never will. And as far as him fighting anyone at this point, I don't think Devin Haney could beat anyone anymore after the beating he took. I think he's mentally done.
Okay. All right, Z, glad to have you back. Yeah, you want to chime in here on that one?
Oh, absolutely. I just heard a little bit what's going on, and it sounds like you're talking about Devin Haney and Ryan Garcia with his positive test.
No. We can go for that, but we were talking about a Haney and Martin fight that's been ordered by WBC.
And Martin? Martin we're talking about? I know Martin's going. There's a Martin that's going to fight Davis very soon. You're talking about Fandor Martin. You're right.
And I
read about that. Haney's supposed to fight Fandor Martin, and to be honest, that would probably be the best comeback fight for Haney right now. Haney, whatever happened with Ryan Garcia, he's been physically damaged with. We have to worry about that first off. Personally, I never thought Haney had the toughest shell out there, but Haney is a very smart fighter who knows, he knows how to pick and choose certain things as far as getting hit with certain punches until it comes to speed and accountability. Ryan Garcia is fast and long for anybody. PEDs are not. He's a problem, just physically for anybody. But with Haney and Fandor Martin, I like Haney. I like that as a comeback fight for Haney, just because Fandor Martin is not a guy who's going to physically damage him. He's noted for his win against Teofimo Lopez. Was it a draw? Or they might have even given it to Teofimo, but Fandor Martin's known for his performance against Teofimo Lopez. He's an outside guy who kind of fast hand and pretty good foot angles. Not the hard hitter at all. Not a hard hitter at all. He's not a danger with the power. what he is, he's a guy who's going to be smaller than Devin Haney, as usual. He's going to be a guy also who's not – he's not the best footwork. Devin Haney's running to Lomachenko, who has better footwork than anybody. Sandor Martin has pretty good footwork, but not to the level of Lomachenko. So as far as a comeback fight for Devin Haney, I like that. Devin Haney should probably take it, depending on what he wants to do, because he might want bigger fights. Sandor Martin's not a big money guy. But I think it's a good fight for him, depending what his camp and he wants to do. He might want to fight, you know, somebody of a higher note, more money right now. I don't know. But I like that as a comeback fight for Devin Haney. That's all.
Okay. Now, Armstrong just went over the McGregor and Michael Chandler fight. Let me get your with your technical experience. There's a lot of stuff out there saying that they don't think that McGregor still has the punching power that he used to have. So going with that, and let's hear what your rendition on that would be.
Well, I will never agree with anybody who says that anybody else does not have the punching power they used to have, because power is the last thing to go. I mean, your speed, your reflexes, your timing, all of that's going to go. But if you could catch something, as an old man, you're going to knock stuff out. To this day, I'll never, ever want to spar George Foreman.
I saw that video, too. Not me. Nope.
It's just I can hit George Foreman with as many things look as good as I want until he throws one thing to catch me, you know, in the right place, or maybe even graze me in the right place. So the power's the last thing to go. As far as Conor and Michael Chandler goes, Conor's been out, and that messes with the speed and timing. Michael Chandler's a little more active, but they're both kind of on the way down on their hill.
Mm-hmm.
Conor, he suffered that real bad injury to his leg. He has to come back from that. We don't know how he's going to respond from that. Mm-hmm. What I think, though, Conor is naturally more talented than Michael Chandler.
Mm-hmm.
But Michael Chandler is more active, and that means, to me, that means a lot. It means a lot when you're more active and you've been doing it more against that sort of competition. When was the last time Conor's been in against high competition on the MMA scale?
Poirier? Mm-hmm. He broke his leg. That was years ago.
So that's what I question. I have to kind of favor Michael Chandler just according to that. But Conor's also, he's proven to be a very, very good talent. If he wins this fight, to me, he's proven to be almost a generational talent, to where he can, he's that talented to come back from the injury, from the layoff, to beat Michael Chandler, who's been active. And Michael Chandler is an elite guy. He's a top-level guy right now. So, I would give kudos to Conor. I don't pick him, but if he wins, I will pick him.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of winning and picking, the fight just went off.
Yes, Tony was just going on about it. Go ahead. Let's hear your side.
My side?
Keeping winning and picking winners. That's all I'm going to say.
Ooh!
I will gladly feed the crow to anybody who needs it. But I, you know my thoughts weeks and weeks and weeks ago, who was going to win this fight? I'm glad that I had to eat crow with the other fight, with two other fights.
Right.
I'm good tonight. what happened is though, to break it down, I'm impressed with both guys. I watched that fight, and I watched high-level heavyweights. And a lot of times, you don't find heavyweights who fake and feign as much, who could counter, because both guys had really, really good counters. Usyk actually started the knockdown process with Tyson Fury off of a counter. And what he did, he doubled his counters up. He fought two counter punches instead of one. One was for distraction to open, to get it more open, to get that left more open on him. Tyson Fury was hitting Usyk with uppercuts, counter uppercuts, and I kept saying, Usyk, stop dipping to the right. Stop dipping your head low to the right because you're going to run into BAM. So, yeah. You got to excuse me. I'm still a little excited because the fight went off and I was, yeah. You know how you get excited. I'm a boxing coach, so, you know, you see somebody, you scream a little bit that somebody's doing something wrong.
Okay. Hey, Armstrong, we got UFC 304 coming up. And it's going to feature Leon Edwards, Tom Aspinall, and Paddy Pimblett. Of those fights, which is going to be the most important, and who do you think that will be the winner?
I actually think I'm going to go on a limb and think Bobby Green is going to beat Paddy Pimblett. I'm going to say that. I think Bobby Green's crafty enough to beat him. I do. I'm prepared to eat crow. I'm not a Paddy hater, but I think I'm going to go with Bobby Green. Maybe because Bobby Green's asked for it, and he's fun. He gets in there. I think if Bobby Green does, I can see him like getting choked out. But if he can keep it on the feet, I think he can beat Paddy. The Aspinall Blaydes fight, I think because of the recent social media texts that have come out, where it looks like John Jones just wants to fight Stipe and retire. It's going to take something away from this Aspinall fight. It does. And, you know, this was a fight that should happen anyway, considering when they fought last time and Aspinall blew out his knee just taking a step. And so, right. But, you know, I could see that fight also just not being that exciting because I think these two guys actually like each other, and I think this just might not be the best of fights. The Leon-Bilal fight is also a rematch, and I know Bilal once, Leon kind of messed his eye up, and there was an eye poke thing, but you know, I think Leon's probably going to beat him. Bilal has the way he wants to fight, and I think whereas I think Leon's a bit more adaptable, I think Leon can go with different styles a bit more fluidly than Bilal can. So I think I'm going to go with Leon on that one. So I think it's going to be – I think Leon's going to win. I think I can't pick the Blaydes Aspinall fight yet. I got to look at it a little bit more because every time I think Blaydes is going to take the next step, he runs into Derek Lewis and gets knocked out. But he's only lost four fights too. I need to do a little bit more on that one. And I'm going to go on a limb and say Green beats Paddy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Lee. I know you're waiting on the fence for this one.
Well, no. I mean, it's funny because Blaydes does run into Derek Lewis and get knocked out. I find that funny because, it's a lot of hurdles to go through, but, I mean, I guess Derek Lewis is one of them.
Yeah, but the same thing happened when he fought Sergey Pavlovich. You know, he went in there, first round, got TKO'd. You know, it's just like Derek Lewis. You know, it's like, come on, Curtis Blaydes. Like, you have all the talent in the world. You're probably the best wrestler in the heavyweight division, but you just can't seem to get, like he hasn't had a title shot yet. And it's shocking to think that Curtis Blaydes has not had a title
because
shot.
Because he can't stay standing against elite competition. He doesn't stay standing. Not talking about he's taking people down to wrestle, which is Curtis Blaydes' attribute. He doesn't stay standing because he gets hit. Like, he's just a little too open on the feet.
He's been knocked out twice by Derek Lewis, knocked out twice by Francis Ngannou. Like, it's like, okay. Yeah.
and he's not getting anybody in the positions that he needs to. Curtis Blaydes on the ground is I mean, he's not the guy who's going to submit you all the time. He can, but, I mean, once he gets a hand on you, once he gets skin to skin, he's a problem. And the clinch on the front, he's a problem. It's just, before then, he's just a little too, his hands are never in position. His feet can be caught out of position on the striking, on the striking hand.
Yeah.
Because he's looking to use the striking to take you down or to get skin to skin. And when a guy knows that, then you're a little more readable. Derek Lewis is a heck of a counterpuncher. He's a heck of a counterpuncher. Like, if you come at him, you know, he knows if he sees an opening, he's going to fire. And it's hard. So certain people, you have to diversify. So, yeah, Curtis Blaydes, he's dangerous as long as you're not hitting his chin. And as I said, it's open.
That's the best way to put it. That's the best. He's dangerous as long as I hit him in the chin. Exactly. Yep.
The other one I want to ask you about, Z, and we talked about earlier, was Edison Barboza and Leon Murphy.
I mean, Barboza, I like Barboza. He's getting a little up there. I don't know too much about Leon Barboza, but I like Barboza. It really depends. The Barboza had the last, like from what I remember, and it's been a minute with Barboza that I've seen, to be honest. But what I remember, he loses the size. He loses the, if you're bigger than him, you have you're more inclined to beat him. But if you're not, I haven't seen a guy his size, his actual size, beat him. But I mean, it depends. It depends what he has left to me, and how big he's fighting against.
And how interested he is. We've seen Barboza disappear like he's not that interested. We've seen that.
I haven't seen him in a while.
He's fought. Yeah, it was like 8 months ago. So.
Let me ask you another one, Z. Conan Air is coming back with Strickland, Sean Strickland. What's your thoughts on that one?
Strickland's right in Duplessis, right? Tonight. Is it tonight?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah. Okay. I'll tell you what. Sean Strickland is a master at the basics.
Sean Strickland's fighting Paulo Costa next. Yeah,
he's fighting Paulo Costa.
Yeah, that's what he's fighting.
Okay,
next.
That's a little different. So
yeah,
so with that going on, Strickland, if he doesn't get caught, which is probably a good possibility, I predict him to kind of control the pace of the fight and win. Paulo Costa hits hard. Paulo Costa's trying to hit you hard. That might be a bit of a detriment dealing with Strickland, because Strickland has his patience. Strickland has a little bit of – he's tough. He could be knocked out, but he's tough enough to where if he works his game plan, which is the key to this fight, if he works his game plan, it's not going to be the hardest fight for him, because Acosta's coming a certain way. You have to be careful in a certain way, but – as long as you know that, you can navigate it. Strickland is the kind of guy who can kind of navigate it, you know, because he's patient and he's a master of the basics. You have to be careful, of course. Everyone has to be careful of Paula. So that's exactly that going.
Yeah, I think that Strickland's going to – I agree. I think Strickland can just keep his game plan. Strickland's very good at playing defense and not getting hit. I think you can see him just trying to work distance and just touch him as much as he can. And, I mean, look, I when Paulo Costa came on the scene, I thought that guy was going to take over. But, you know, Paulo Costa has fought once a year since 2018. He fights one time a year. And I just don't think – and he's 1-4 his last – or he's 1-3 his last four fights. So – and he beat Luke Rockhold, you know. So who was, you know, on the way tail end of his career. So I think this fight means everything for Costa. I think like Strickland could lose this fight and have it not be that big of a deal for his overall career, I think. Where I feel like if Costa loses this, I mean, he's very funny, and he has, you know, the bodybuilder physique and the special juice or whatever it is, and his social media game. It's very funny. But the guy doesn't fight. He just doesn't fight very much. So – the fact that he's fighting again in less than 6 months from his last fight is surprising in itself. So I'm hoping that he tries to get his career back on track. He just hasn't been around. I mean, to know that he's only 14-3 when he was 13-0, but he was 13-0 in 2019. So that's my biggest concern with Paulo Costa. It's just like, dude, do you really want to do this? Because you know, you got to get in there more. But, you know, but again, that being said, just don't let him touch you. Because close to touch as you want, and you can go night-night. So that's also true.
He hits hard. That's one thing.
He
you
hits
know
very
how
hard.
He's coming to hit you hard.
He's coming to hit you hard, exactly.
All right. Well, guys, that's just we've got a couple more fights in, and we'll be done for the night. I did want to ask Tony. Lauren Price is the first above descent to be a world champion. Can you name any of the others that were that fought the female?
Who was that first D or?
Yeah, it was Lauren Price.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear your question.
The question is, Lauren Price is the first female of Welsh descent to win the world championship. Can you remember anybody else that has the female championship that was the Welsh or English title?
I cannot at the moment. I'm sorry.
Okay. All right. I think we've all right, what do you think of let me ask Tony, what do you think about Barrios' last fight here? He took his man out in the third round to win the title.
I like Barrios a lot. I think he's still I think we were talking earlier about him. He's still got it in him. He's still got a ways to go, and it doesn't shock me at all. I think he's a phenomenal fighter. It's kind of hit or miss. I mean, if he's having a bad day, he has a bad day. If he has a good day, he's a really good day. There's really no in between with him that I ever see.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, guys, that does bring us to the end of our hour here, and I really appreciate all your time and your preparedness. And, Tony, thank you for the updates for the live fight. And, I appreciate that. We have to get together this week to talk about that thing with Tony and the other thing with Trevor. So when you get a chance, give me a call, and maybe we can meet somewhere.
Absolutely. We'll do.
Steve, you want to lead us out?
Absolutely. I'm sorry for being late, you guys. I hope you guys had a good show before me. It's been wonderful since I've been here. I want to thank all you guys, all my Fighting Words family. These shows are definitely a memory of Bob, Chris Mellon, and Dr. Chris.
All right. Tony?
First, I'd like to say my condolences to the families of the ones you were speaking about at the beginning of the podcast. Hopefully, they can rest in peace, and hopefully the families can try to find solace. Alexander Usyk, baby! Yes, that's it. That's it. He got it. I got it. Heck yeah. We are all, baby.
Woo! Okay. Thanks a lot. Ladies and gentlemen, these programs are brought to you each and every night of the week in grateful appreciation to the men and women of the United States Armed Forces, the men and women of Police and Fire Services, the doctors and nurses and the first responders, and especially the wonderful people in the market to keep those shelves stocked. These programs are dedicated to those who have lost their lives in the line of duty. Deputy Robert Anthony Carroll, Patrolman Jeffrey Colcap, Patrolman David Curtis, Patrolman Jeffrey Yazowitz, Sergeant Thomas Batinger, San Diego Officer Mike Hendler, Detective Randy Bell, Detective Ricky Childers, Sergeant Tom Wilson, Charlotte County Sheriff's Department, Patrolman Charlie Connett, Tarpon Springs Police Department, Deputy Chief Mike Godwin, Philadelphia Fire Department, Lieutenant Joyce Craig Lewis, Philadelphia Fire Department, Sergeant James O'Connor, Philadelphia Police Department, Sergeant Chris LeVake, Hillsborough County Sheriff's Department, Lieutenant Mike Zerba, Newcastle County Police, Patrolman Anafa Christman, Lakeland PD, Deputy Josh Meyer, Suffolk County Sheriff's Department,
Captain Matt Letourneau, Philadelphia Fire Department. Captain Chris Leach, Wilmington Fire Department. Lieutenant Artis Hope, Wilmington Fire Department. Lieutenant Jerry Ficus, Wilmington Fire Department. Chief Al Hogle, Longwood Key Police Department. Chief Giving Ford, Wilmington Fire Department. Deputy Mike Hargrove, Pinellas County Sheriff's Department. Trooper Charlie Chelsea Richards, Florida Highway Patrol. Trooper Joe Bullock, Florida Highway Patrol. Trooper Zachary Ben, Florida Highway Patrol. Sergeant Christopher Fitzgerald, Philadelphia Police Department, Philadelphia Sheriff's Department. Sergeant Ramon Mendez, Philadelphia Police Department, Philadelphia Airport Police. My brothers and sisters, although you may be 10-7 at this point in time, and sometime we'll be 10-10 at the table of the Lord. Until that time, may the roads rise up to meet you. May the winds be always at your back. May the rains fall softly on your fields and the sunlight lightly on your face. Until we meet again, may the good Lord keep you and your family always in the hollow of his hand. Good night, God bless, and have a great week. What?
County Dispatch 1999. County Dispatch to 1999. County Dispatch to 1999. All units be advised, 1999 responded to his last emergency. May God rest his soul and all the souls of the faithful departed. Good night, Bob. We love you and we miss you.